Beacon Press Audio presents A More Beautiful and Terrible History, The Uses and Misuses of Civil Rights History by Jean Theo Harris. This audiobook is narrated by Kim Staunton. Published by Beacon Press Audio, 2018. To Julian Bond, who taught me how to tell this story and carry this history forward. And to my parents, Nancy and Ethan Theo Harris, for their commitment to and insistence on justice, truth-telling, and perseverance. Preface. A Dream Diluted and Distorted. It's a system of power that is always deciding in the name of humanity who deserves to be remembered and who deserves to be forgotten. We are much more than we are told. We are much more beautiful. Eduardo Galeano. American history is longer, larger, more various, more beautiful, and more terrible than anything anyone has ever said about it. James Baldwin. A Talk to Teachers. By the turn of the millennium, the history of the civil rights movement had become a national story. When asked to name a most famous American, other than a president, from Columbus to today, high school students most often chose Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks. Students chose two freedom fighters who in life had challenged the racial injustice at the heart of the American society and who had often been treated as un-American for doing so. Now the civil rights movement had come to embody American grit, courage, and resolve, and these two activists could be invoked as the country's most famous emblems. Arguably, beginning when President Ronald Reagan signed the bill in 1983 to make the third Monday of January a federal holiday for Martin Luther King Jr., the political uses of memorializing the movement took on heightened possibility as a national narrative. 15 years of opposition to the holiday gave way to recognizing its political utility. The civil rights movement became a way for the nation to feel good about its progress, and King's legacy became enshrined in his dream speech. His popularity expanded. By 1987, 76% of Americans held a favorable opinion of the civil rights leader, almost the reverse of his popularity at the end of his life. Only 28% of Americans had favorable opinion of him in 1966. President after president, from Reagan to Bush to Clinton to Obama, hailed King's dream in their tributes to him. With these national stamps of approval, the civil rights leaders' broader commitments to challenging the giant triplets of racism, extreme materialism, and militarism, and his legacy of sustained struggle shrank further into the background. At the same time, memorials to the civil rights movement became national events. From President Bill Clinton's trip to Little Rock for the 40th anniversary of the Little Rock Nine's desegregation of Central High School, to Congress's decision to have Rosa Parks's coffin lie in honor in the Capitol, to the first family's trip to Selma, Alabama, on the 50th anniversary of the Selma to Montgomery March. These national events honored not just the work of the civil rights activists, but the advancement of the nation itself. They marked the Americanness of the civil rights struggle and held up the power of U.S. democracy and progress to the world. Political leaders, pundits, and citizens came to see and tell the story of the modern civil rights movement as one of progress and national redemption. Jim Crow was framed as a horrible Southern relic, and the movement to unseat it became a powerful tale of courageous Americans defeating a long-ago evil. Activists, from Paul Robeson to Malcolm X, who had once been deemed national security threats, showed up on postage stamps. A movement that had challenged the very fabric of U.S. politics and society was turned into one that demonstrated how great and expansive the country was. A story of individual bravery, natural evolution, and the long march to a more perfect union. A story that should have reflected the immense injustices at the nation's core and the enormous lengths people had gone to attack them had become a flattering mirror. The popular history of the civil rights movement now served as testament to the power of American democracy. This framing was appealing, simultaneously sober about the history of racism, lionizing of Black courage, celebratory of American progress, and strategic in masking and at times justifying current inequities. This history, as national progress naturalized the civil rights movement as an almost inevitable aspect of American democracy, rather than as the outcome of Black organization and intrepid witness. It suggested racism derived from individual sin rather than from national structure, and that the strength of American values, rather than the staggering challenge of a portion of its citizens, led to its change. The movement had largely washed away the sins of the nation, and America's race problem could be laid to rest with a statue in the Capitol. In the process, politicians and others shrank the progressive, expansive, challenging vision of the modern Black freedom struggle into something more passive, individualistic, and privatized, a dream diluted and distorted. The celebration of the movement became a way to avoid acknowledging the enormous gap between America's practices and its professions, as historian John Hope Franklin had explained. And it became a way to take the beauty and power away from one of the most successful social movements of the 20th century and the vision it offers us for today. The recounting of national histories is never separate from present-day politics. What of the past is remembered, celebrated, and mourned is at the core of national identity. And the process of what is told and not told is often a function of power. The act of making an historical tribute necessarily resolves it and fixes it in time and place. As anthropologist Michelle Rolfe Trouillot observes, the task of commemoration helps to create, modify, or sanction the public meanings attached to historical events deemed worthy of mass celebration. To create a past that seems both more real and more elementary. The use of the word history itself is slippery, Trouillot reminds us. In vernacular use, history means both the facts of the matter and a narrative of those facts, both what happened and that which is said to have happened. Thus, reflection on popular uses of history is crucial as we move closer to an era when professional historians will have to position themselves more clearly within the present, lest politicians, magnates, or ethnic leaders alone write history for them. Memorials, in their essence, are for the dead, for events long since over. And the task of honoring can also be a form of stripping and silencing. Racial injustice is America's original sin and deepest silence. The ways the country came to honor the civil rights movement were not simply about paying tribute to these courageous acts and individuals in the past, but also about sanctioning what will and will not be faced about the nation's history and present. Explained former Birmingham Mayor David Vann, the best way to put your bad images to rest is to declare them history and put them in a museum. So paradoxically, the ways the nation has memorialized the civil rights movement has become a way to maintain such silences. The history of American racism has become just that, history. While these tributes honored the movement, they simultaneously depoliticized the scope of the struggle, distorted the work of the activists honored, demonized Black anger, and obscured ongoing calls for racial justice through a celebration of a nearly post-racial, self-correcting America. No better proof of the country's progress was the election and presidency of Barack Obama. Movement symbolism
Sample complete. Ready to continue?